Dr. DeWitt, you know, Willems. He is a man with a wife and two daughters. He have long ministry service since 1964. So he will end his service next year. It means he's going to retire. After he, you know, graduated from college, from university, he was a pastor in 1964. And in 1967, he did come here in Switzerland to study French. And then we'll go to the continent of Africa, Congo, and work there for 3 years. The GC called him to GC work in the communication department. Then he did, you know, went to Burundi for another 3 years mission service, 1983. Called back to the GC, he worked until 1990. And since 1990 up to this moment, he's working for North American Division. Welcome, Dr. Willems.
Good morning. If I can get everything moving here. I've been assigned to the topic, Developing Health Ministries Leaders for the Local Church. And I would like to thank the General Conference Health Ministries Department for the vision of organizing this wonderful conference and running it so smoothly. I had to take care of business, but Alan and Stoy and Kathleen Peter, the team, I, like you, have been blessed by it. And I just wanted to let them know that I appreciate it. Barbara, it's good to be here, I'm sure. Thank you for allowing me to be a participant. As long as the church, what a wonderful time to do health ministries. What a wonderful time to be a health ministries leader. Can you say amen?
Amen.
It's a wonderful time. We've already seen some of this positive press that we've been getting. Secret of Longevity, November 2005, from the National Geographic in the Blue Zone. I was very much interested in this one that I haven't seen it, and maybe somebody pointed it out, I don't know. But this one was in U.S. News and World Reports, February 20, 2009, 10 health habits that will help you live to 100. And the one that I really like is number 8 of those 10 habits. Did you see that one? It says, live like a Seventh-day Adventist. Americans who define themselves as Seventh-day Adventists have an average life expectancy of 89. And then it goes on to talk about our position. And then this one, what I was very much pleased to see this one. This has been out for a little while, but this is called God's Nutritionist, Pearls of Wisdom, from Ellen G. White. The author is Robert Cohen. I don't know if you know Robert Cohen, but Robert Cohen is not a Seventh-day Adventist. Robert Cohen is a Jewish writer, and he wrote a book about milk. And when he found out that Mrs. White, Ellen G. White, had said something about milk more than 100 years ago, he just couldn't believe it. And he went back and read all of Mrs. White's books. He went to the White Estate, and he wrote a book called God's Nutritionist, Pearls of Wisdom, from Ellen G. White. And then when he finished that, when he wrote another, Food for Thought, Words to Live By, from Ellen G. White. I was especially pleased with these two from someone of another faith. As long as the Seventh-day Adventist Church has been in existence, we have had a health message. And as some of this positive press has shown, most of it has come from Adventist living at Loma Linda. And I believe that the benefits of the Seventh-day Adventist lifestyle are not confined to Loma Linda Seventh-day Adventists. I believe that everybody who follows the principle, and I really can't wait until the cohort, Dr. Fraser, are you here? I can't wait until the 25,000 black, the 25,000 African-Americans who are in this new Adventist health study come along so that we can see what it actually says about black Seventh-day Adventists. I think it's going to say some wonderful things about African-Americans. I tell everybody I'm not a double A, I'm a triple A. I'm not just an African-American, I'm an Adventist African-American. American. Can you say amen? And even though there's a health disparity among blacks in America, I think that when they start looking at Seventh-day Adventist black people, they're going to find out some very interesting things. My father lived to be 93. His aunt lived to be 99. He had another aunt to live to be 100. He had another one to live to be 104, and another one to live to be 108. So I'm just looking. Anybody who follows the principles of the Seventh-day Adventist Church as advocated by Mrs. White. As a matter of fact, as long as our church has existed, we have had our health message. On June 6, 1863, Ellen White had her first major vision on health. And our church was officially organized just prior to that, May 21, 1863. So as long as there's been an Adventist church, there has been a health message. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Now, most people believe that when it comes to health, that our health work is concentrated in our hospitals, in our clinics, private doctor's offices, and better living centers in ADRA. But I believe from this quotation from Mrs. White, this came from the pen of inspiration. She says, every church, she said, the Lord gave me light that in every place where a church was established, medical missionary work was to be done. And then she says again, every church should be a training school for Christian workers. Its members should be taught how to help the poor, to care for the sick. There should be what? Schools of health, cooking schools, classes in various lines of Christian health work. There should not only be teaching, but actual work under experienced instructors. Let the teachers lead the way in working among the people, and others uniting with them will learn from their example. One example is worth more than many precepts. And back in her day, she called it medical missionary work. And then you know we called it health and temperance, but later on we called it health ministry. She said the medical missionary work should be a part of the work of every church in the land. A part of every church. And here's another one. The work of combining fruits and seeds and grains and roots into wholesome foods is the Lord's work. In every place where a church has been established, let the church members walk humbly before God. Let them seek to enlighten the people with health reform principles. So every church, according to the writing that we've had from Mrs. White, every church is a community health center. We have 6,000 churches in North America. In America, in Bermuda, in Canada, that's my territory, 6,000 community health centers should exist. The only person that I've ever seen that talks in this way was Granger Westberg. He was a pastor who came with his faith community nurse, the parish nursing. Dr. Westberg originally envisioned parish nursing nurses partnering with hospitals and churches. And that's more than 100 years later. But the vision that Mrs. White cast was 100 years earlier of every church being a community health place. And then she came along with another concept, every member. She says the elders and those who have leading places in the church should give more thought to their plans for conducting the work. They should arrange matters so that every member of the church, and I'm not going to read it all, should get involved in work. Then here's another one. We have come to a time when every member of the church should take hold of medical missionary work. And this is the statement I really like. She says, Christ is no longer in this world in person to go through our cities and towns and villages healing the sick. But what? He has commissioned us to carry forward the medical missionary work that he began. So we are his hands to do what Christ did. We are his feet to go where Christ went. We are his mind to think as Christ thought. We are his heart to love as Christ loved. I read this statement in John chapter 5. You remember when Jesus came to the well, he came to this pool, the pool of Bethesda, and he found the man who was paralyzed, and he asked him, do you want to be made whole? Do you want to get well? And as I looked at that word Bethesda, the word Bethesda means house of mercy, Bethesda. And as I was looking at it, Now, I know that this is not going to translate too well, but as I was looking at it, the last three letters, what did you see there? Seventh-day Adventist, Bethesda, House of Mercy. And then I looked at it again, and what did I see? I saw some more words. Do you see any more words in there? Be the Seventh-day Adventist who brings mercy and help. Let's start a wellness epidemic. And these were the thoughts that came into our minds as we started the program. Listen to this. She says, multitudes leave to institutions, our hospitals, ADRA. Multitudes leave to institutions and organizations the work of benevolence. They excuse themselves from contact with the world, and their hearts what? Grow cold. They become self-absorbed and unimpressible. Love for God and man dies out of the soul. So that's why I believe Mrs. White knew that every church and every member had to do this, because she knew that we had to be the Seventh-day Adventists who carried the message of compassion to the world. And when Jesus looked out, he looked out with love and compassion. I read this little statement here, $3 worth of God, by Wilbur Reese, a Presbyterian minister. He said, I would like to buy just $3 worth of God, please. Not enough to explode my soul or disturb my sleep, but just enough to equal a cup of warm milk or a snooze in the sunshine. I don't want enough of him, of God, to make me love an alcoholic or pick beets with the migrants. I want ecstasy, not transformation. I want the warmth of the womb, not a new birth. I want a pound of the eternal in a paper sack. I would like to buy just $3 worth of God, please. And that's the way I think some people have looked at it. But God says we have come to a time when every member, when every church, Christ is no longer with us. We are his hands. We are his feet. We are his mind. We are his heart, to have love and compassion for the rest of this world. We have 1 million members in North American Division. And as we were thinking about these thoughts, we said, what can we do so that every member, every church, 6,000 churches, can have a part so that they can be Christ's representatives? And so we came up with a plan. It didn't originate actually at the North American Division. The young lady that you met yesterday, or the day before yesterday, Gwen Foster, she was the health ministries leader in the Allegheny East Conference, and she started a program called Lifestyle Certification. And she had all of her people wear these green coats. She said green stood for life and so forth. And so I talked to Gwen and I. We grew up in the same city, went to the same church. I said, Gwen, we need to get that going division-wide. And she says, sure, we'll be very happy to help get it going. And so we looked into it and modified it a bit, and we started Lifestyle Certification so that every member, so that every church, so that everybody who wanted to be involved would be certified and would be trained for leadership. We believe that there are a lot of people who are asking, as this man asked, I would do more, but I don't know what to do. Can my church train me to do something? And so Lifestyle Certification is aimed at training members so that they can present a variety of seminars in their local church, in every community, on a regular basis. I partner with the Inter-American Division. Dr. Honore, are you here? I think I saw you someplace. Dr. Honore, Dr. Ellie Honore. We have been working together since 2002 on this division-wide training, two divisions working so that our members will be trained to be Christ's hands and feet and mind, to go throughout the world so that the church can be a community-based wellness center. We started in 2002, and we have usually every year in February, January, last week in January, in February, we have a week-long training program. And we have three levels, level one and level two and level three. Level one is basically something that you do on your own. We want you to read Ministry of Healing. How many of you have read Ministry of Healing all the way through? Okay, that's good. You're health leaders. But many church members have never read the book all the way through. And there is a manual that goes with it that the White Estate has prepared. And we get them to read other things and do a mission statement and so forth so that they will be committed to lifestyle. These are some of the Ministry of Healing, the search video and so forth, where CPR and first aid, level one. Now, the level two is where we actually get involved, level two certification. And we have about 25 courses, and we teach them down in Florida. These are not little courses where you sit for an hour, but these are specialty courses. These are courses where you have to stay in that same course for 15 hours or 16 hours. Some of them are 30 hours. Some of them are 40 hours. If you take vegetarian nutrition cuisine instructor, you have to be in that for about 40 hours, and then there's some homework that you have to do. These are dense courses that prepare you to go out and meet the public. We have about 25 of them, fitness for life, exercise, and stress, and addiction, and smoking, 8 weeks to wellness, van ministry, grief recovery, parish nursing, vegetarian cuisine instructors, charters, diabetes, coronary health improvement, home hydrotherapy, heartbeat, forgiveness, black family health, and there are more. We added this last one on here. This is going to be added on for the New Year, homegrown nutrition. How we know that we're going to possibly be in a recession, depression, whatever it is that we're in, and money is tight, people are losing their jobs, and so we've got some people teaching how to plant food, how to raise your own food and grow it. And so it's called homegrown nutrition, which will be offered for the first time this year. Not just an hour, but many, many hours of concentrated work, train the trainer, developing leaders to be able to go out and do things. When you leave, you're empowered. Not only do you have mental information, but we give you PowerPoints and a manual so that you can duplicate, or the person who attends can duplicate the course in their own church and in their own area. We've also expanded now so that we not only have Health Summit Florida, but we have Health Summit West, and the Canadians were saying, well, we have to come down and give us one. So we now have a Health Summit North. We've had a Health Summit North. As I mentioned before, I partnered with Dr. Ellie Honore. We appreciate so much the collaboration with the Inter-American Division. Some 400 plus people come every year since we've started, and next year will be our ninth year. Sometimes we've had churches send 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 people. And we found out sometimes when a church sends 6 people, they would try to get their money's worth. And they'd send one person into one class and another person into another class and another person into another class, you know, so they'd come back. We have found out that that probably was not the best way, because it's difficult for one person to remember all of the details. And so now we recommend that if a church comes and sends 6 people, let all 6 go into the same class. Which, what you remember is not what I remember, and what you remember is not what I... And a certain critical mass is needed to put on a program in the local church. All 6 of them come in, and each person picks up a little piece of the pie, and when they go back, they can start a program in their church. Then Lifestyle 3, this is how to make good presentations, how to be a good public speaker, how to get media and so forth. But the meeting that we have down in Florida, the health summits are usually focused on certification in level 2. And this is the health ministry's pyramid that we believe down at the bottom, the base of the pyramid, we have the churches. Every church a wellness center, every church a health center. These are the classes, the communication. These are the classes that we teach at our health summit. This is the occasional but regular. We like to see people, a church plan at the beginning of the year what they're going to do. It's not something that's occasional. When the pastor has an evangelistic meeting or when he's trying to do something, but on a regular basis. I have one doctor who puts on 3 breathe free programs every year. And before the year begins, they have already voted these programs in. So when January 1 comes, everybody in the church, everybody in the community knows that there will be a class January 2, There will be a class in June, and there will be a class in October. It's no guesswork. It's already planned. It's already funded. People know. If you come to the class and you stop smoking but you fall, you can come back to class number two. If you fall in that, free. You can come back to class number three, free. So down at the bottom, at the base of the pyramid, are these occasional but regular programs, two or three or four per year, that reach out to the community. And as we go higher, we have our restaurants and our health food stores. And at the very top, these are the professionally staffed, the ADRA, the Lifestyle Change Centers, and our hospitals. I had some DVD cards. I hope you have them. Did you see these? Pick them up. I don't have any more left. And we had some DVDs on the table. I went to look, but there were any more left? I don't see any more left. And these are the dates of our next one, January 29 to February 7, 2010. We were a little bit concerned. 2010 is general conference session, and we didn't know whether people will come or not. And so I went with a proposal to shorten. I said, let's shorten this. We're in a recession and general conference session. Some people can't come out of their unions only one time a year. But I was overridden by the committee that we have. They said, no, instead of shortening it, let's lengthen it. I said, come on. So we disputed a little bit of time. And so we finally have added up. We've added now four tracks. We have the first weekend where you can take a course all in the first weekend. Then during the week, you can take more all morning long the second track. And in the afternoon, you can take a third track. And then the last weekend, we have a fourth track that we've added for the first time this year. And I am so very pleased that the health team from the General Conference comes every year. Dr. Handysize, Dr. Kuntara, Elder Stoy Proctor, Dr. Landless, they come down and teach a course. They've developed some special courses for us. And I wanted to show Dr. Eli Honore's. I couldn't get a good picture of you, but there, Dr. Honore down here. Thank you so much. You need to send me a good picture. If I made it big, it didn't look good. So, 2007 was our biggest year. I didn't come 2007. I got sick. But you know, they've done it now so many times. I called Dr. Honore. I said, how's it coming down there? I thought that perhaps I could, there was some weighty problem that I could solve. And he said, everything is going fine. Go back to bed. I called meeting planner, Marilyn Rank, and I said, how's everything? I knew they needed my advice on something. But she said, no, everything is fine. It's going wonderful. Go back to bed. And I called two or three more people, and they all told me to go back to bed. So it actually runs without me. And I think I'm very happy about that. Okay, so these are some pictures I'm going to go very quickly through. This is where we have it. We're training these leaders down in sunny Florida in January. People love to come down here. I'm just going to go very quickly. Our course in depression, Dr. Neil Nedley. You can see Dr. Charles Cleveland. He does the one on New Start. And Dr. DeSantos, Dr. Allen does. We added one this past year, 2 years ago, Black Family Health. And this is our regeneration course. Here's Dr. You know, Dr. Handyside is not only a great doctor, but he's a great speaker. He's a preaching doctor, and we had him, and here he is making a point at one of our sessions, and you can see he's making something very important happen there. We have music, and this past year our food was good. Usually the food is not so good. They haven't figured out how to cook vegetarian food, but we had a new cook, and when we were going over the strengths and weaknesses, Lenore, they said one of the best things about the meeting this year was that the food was great. So I said, make sure you keep that cook for next year. We actually went on TV, Dr. Derek Morris, and we went on TV. My time is running out here now. I see I'm getting some. One of our best courses, we have the one on vegetarian cooking. Mrs. White said, everybody needs to be taught how to cook without eggs, vegan style. And I tell you, the Chef Julio, Stoy Proctor, Fred Harding, we have others, Lenore Hodges, and who else? People come down, and this is one of our biggest classes. How do you make good bread? We're developing health leaders to reach out to the congregation. I teach a course, and now this is the book you ought to get, Handbook of Health Evangelism. Everybody ought to have this book. If you don't have it, get it. It's called The Handbook of Health Evangelism by Dr. Elvin Adams. I invite every year some non-Adventists to come to my class, Breathe Free class, who are involved in... This is Vinnie DeMarco, and this is Patricia Sosa. They are with the Tobacco Free Kids. And Vinnie DeMarco is with the Faith United Against Tobacco, a coalition of anti-smoking denominational leaders. And we have a wonderful time working together. I don't believe that we ought to work in isolation. Do you think so? We need to work and reach out and work with other groups. And I was pleased about 3 weeks ago to get a call from Vinnie DeMarco. He said, we're about to pass the bill allowing the FDA to regulate tobacco. And he says, we want you to come to the Rose Garden with us. Can you do that? And he said, President Obama is going to be signing this bill. And I was very happy. I had to go through all these procedures, and I went down, and there I was sitting in the Rose Garden. You can't see me there. But he signed that bill, and I was there. And afterwards, I went up to the table. You know... I got a chance to shake President Obama's hand. My wife was watching TV, CNN, and she saw me, you know, taking a picture, and she called her neighbor. She says, my husband's on TV. She called another neighbor. She says, my husband's on TV. She called to the General Conference, Elder Cooper. She called Dr. Willie Oliver. She says, my husband's on TV. The secretary said, he's in a meeting. She said, tell him it's an emergency. My husband's on TV. Oh, I tell you. And this is a group of the pictures. This is Senator Chris Dodd here, incidentally. This is a Bishop, Bishop Douglas Miles. He's a Quaker. She's Methodist. She's Baptist. She's Islam and so forth. It's good to work with these people. And I toyed with the idea of not washing my hand for a little bit, but moving on. Okay. Now, I close with these four P's. Presence. We have a wonderful opportunity for health ministry. We have churches scattered all over, 6,000 in our division. I don't know how many in your division. Churches can be community-based wellness centers. We have more than 350,000 congregations, not Adventists, but churches all over America. Adventists have 6,000 churches, but less than 75 hospitals. Presence, that's what we need to. We need to. That's the first P. The second P is the personnel. More than a million Adventist lay people who, once they are trained, can be useful to the process. And then the third P is the program. These intensive programs that we teach, you select the one you like best. And then the last P is power. Most government and public organizations can't add a spiritual component to their programs. Churches can offer the power of prayer and faith, belief and trust in divine power. I had one lady to come to my stop smoking program. I ran at the University of Maryland, Mrs. Jackson. And she told me when she came in, she said, you know, I've tried everything. I've tried acupuncture. And I've tried hypnosis. And I've tried herbs. And I've tried Nicorette gum. And I've tried the pill and the patch. And I'm still smoking. She said, I came to you because I believe, I've heard, she said, that you all know a God who is able to help. And I had prayer with her. We have prayer. And I let her know that you need, that we can provide the special help that she needed. We give, you know, when we do the stop smoking program, when you finish, we give you a BNS, a Bachelor of Non-Smoking degree. And when you go for 3 months and you're still non-smoking, we give you your MNS, your Master's of Non-Smoking degree. And if you go without smoking for a year, we give you your Doctor of Non-Smoking. You know, I forgot all about her. And one year later, to the date, I got a call on my phone, and my secretary said, Mrs. Jackson is on the phone. I said, who's on the phone? She said, Mrs. Jackson. She said that she came to one of your stop smoking programs, and you didn't send her Doctor of Non-Smoking degree, and she wants it. So I sent her Doctor of Non-Smoking degree. I believe we need to let people know that God helps smokers stop smoking. Amen? I believe that we need to let people know that God helps fat people lose weight. I believe we need to let people know that God helps the alcoholic throw away his bottle. I like Nutrisystem and Weight Watchers and Physicians, weight loss programs and Richard Simmons and all the American Heart Association, the government programs, but only church programs can let people know that God is the real agent of behavior change. It is God who heals. Can you say amen? And I believe also that there is an urgency. The clock is moving. The clock is moving. There's not much time. I don't even know what this statement means. Mrs. White said in Councils on Health, she said, I wish to tell you that soon, I don't know what that means. She says, soon there will be no work done in ministerial lines but medical missionary work. I believe that. That's my last slide. I believe that we need to get ready. Our leaders need to be working. We are Christ's hands to do what Christ wants us to do. We are Christ's feet to go where Christ wants us to go. We are Christ's mind to think as Christ would think. And we are Christ's heart to love as he loved. Thank you very much.